In our first reading, we're reminded that the people of the Old Testament were formed by God as his people through the law. The law was a sign of their election and privilege as God's people. This is how God united his people. And so when they lived in accordance with their identity as God's people, his nation flourished. And when they would wander away from the law, the nation began to splinter and fall apart. That should tell us a lot about the importance of the Gospels for us. Even more, it tells us about the importance of the person that the Gospels illuminate, Jesus Christ. Now, I hope all of you understand that Christ is not Jesus' last name. All right? That Jesus didn't grow up to the parents of Joseph and Mary Christ. Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Christ is Jesus' title and his mission. In his book, Jesus of Nazareth, Pope Benedict has an excellent discussion about the inseparable relation between Jesus' person and his office. Unlike other historical figures, it's not possible to distinguish between Jesus' office and his person. And so it's more accurate to say Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. But Jesus' office and person were so intimately united that he's simply called Jesus Christ. In our gospel, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue at Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bring liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind. And then he adds that incredible statement at the end. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And then the remainder of the gospel is meant to show that Jesus not only proclaims these, but he is these. He is good news. He is freedom and light and salvation. With Jesus Christ, there's no set of ideas or a private life that can be separated from his public life. His actions, his teachings, his miracles reveal who he is. That's the definition of integrity. Integrity involves always acting in accordance with our identity. Now, why am I making a big deal about this? Because we are also called to live with integrity, to live always in accord with who we are. And today's second reading gives us a clear reminder of who we are. We are the body of Christ. That is our identity. That means we live our identity most clearly wherever the body of Christ is made visible. And so first, the body of Christ is made visible, really present in the Eucharist. Therefore, we live our identity more perfectly when we participate in the Mass. I remember back in the 1990s when my wife and I were on pilgrimage in Medjugorje, and I especially recall being affected by daily Mass, even when it was being celebrated in Croatian. And it's not because I understand Croatian, it was because the church was filled with the local people coming to Mass, either from their homes or after work. It wasn't filled with pilgrims. The church was filled with Croatians who were living their identity as the body of Christ. I was kind of reminded of this on New Year's Eve at the 5:30 evening Mass for the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. This church was mostly full. Yes, it was a holy day of obligation, but since it was 5:30 on a weekday, it could have been any weekday Mass. Why isn't it any or every weekday Mass? What is occupying all of our time and attention? Imagine what a powerful statement it would be if we as a parish would commit to just attending one extra daily Mass each week. Old St. Mary's Church would be filled every evening, and we would experience some part of that spirit which the people in Medjugorje experience, because they are acting in accordance with who they are. Our actions would match our identity as the body of Christ. But unfortunately, we underestimate the power of when the body of Christ gathers together to worship God and praise Him. Second, the body of Christ is made visible, really present, when we share our lives together as God's family. We heard it in our second reading. God has so constructed the body so that there is no division in the body, but that the parts might have the same concern for one another. When our actions are done in concern for the other, when we are concerned with the whole body and are aware of it, then Christ becomes alive among us. What makes this parish exceptional? This parish is exceptional because of the people who live who they are. One obvious way is the hundreds of people who have supported Perpetual Adoration for the past 23 years. We often think about the individual dimension of adoration. You know, I get to go to the chapel and I'm there with Jesus, just me and Jesus. But there's also a communal dimension that is very powerful. Think about what it says then. We as a people, we as a family, gather 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to pray for each other, to pray for the church, to pray for our world. Monsignor Evatt, God rest his soul, saw this communal dimension 24 years ago and desired it for us. And we responded as the body of Christ. Equally important, though, this parish is exceptional because of the hundreds of people who live their identity by their active engagement in the ministries and the social activities of the parish. The effectiveness of this parish is not magic. Those who have been here a while might start taking it for granted, but I find that newcomers tend to appreciate it. It's not magic, but it is a great grace. It's the grace of living who we are. But it can only continue if the members of this parish, the newer members, those who are younger, and those who are not yet engaged in the parish life, maybe those who have decided to excuse themselves from parish life, it will not continue unless we take our place in the body of Christ. As we heard from St. Paul, if a foot should say, I don't need you, I'm not part of the body, it doesn't for this reason belong any less to the body. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem weaker are all the more necessary. Every one of you is important to the body. Every one of you is necessary. For example, I love our EMs, our extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist. They're devout men and women. But it's unfortunate that Father and I have to see the same ones up here every week. The same is true for our wheelchair drivers. They do great work, but we need more of them. And I can say the same thing for countless other examples of us living our identity. Living our identity also includes doing fun things together, like the chocolate festival, the parish dinners, the feast day celebrations. In early March, we're going to have another married couples date night. The theme will be a murder mystery dinner party. Just come, enjoy an evening with your spouse and meet other couples in the parish. We have an exceptional parish, but it can only continue if those who are newer to the parish, those who are younger, and those who are not yet engaged in parish life take their place in the body of Christ. Recall that with Jesus Christ, the action and the person are the same. The unity in Jesus is perfect. Because we are members of Jesus' body, what is true of Jesus is true of us as well. Each of us is called to be a little Christ, to be a Christian. Just as Jesus cannot be understood apart from his identity as the Christ, So people should not see me or you any difference between our actions and our identity. As Jesus said, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Will we in turn be the fulfillment of the gospel for others? We will, if we embrace and live our identity.
Let us stand.